New
Sedgwick.
York. Hey. Wow.
Okay, sorry. I've got. Oh, I can't get rid of that. It says the meeting is being recorded. Okay, there we are. Oh dear.
There should be a box there to come out of it.
Yeah, okay, I can. Sorry, I've sort of it's worked every single time before. Just
Ooh. Have we lost Claire?
I think you're on mute, Donna, if you're talking to us.
yeah, Claire was saying her internet wasn't the best. How did we do it last time with Anne? How did we help? Did we all turn our videos off or something?
Yeah, and Anne turned her video off as well and just did
Yes.
audio on one of the occasions, I think.
But that might not work with a presentation, might it?
No. Like she's back.
Oh, good.
She could always send you the presentation, Donna. You could show it to us.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, let's try again. Share screen. There we are. Okay. Good. I'm a nutritional therapist, and why I decided to do the course you're doing now a few years ago was that I kept on getting clients, and I knew really the reason their symptom would be vastly improved if they knew how to stop the stress response. And I got fed up with myself for saying forever, okay, you need to just relax more or, try breathing technique. And I didn't really have anything specific to offer them. So that was my reason for learning. Well, I'd been practicing autogenic therapy for myself for a few years, but that was my reason for doing the course and being able to teach it. And it's been great. It's been very useful. So in this presentation, I want to talk generally a bit about how stress affects health. I mean, I think you know already, but I want to go through it again because I'm not sure what you've covered. And then really focus on the gut, because really one of the big way stress affect health is by affecting the gut. And the gut is really my subject. And then how at AT practice can autogenic therapy practice can really help this. So stress affects us. There's lots and lots of ways, but one of the main pathway is the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, and that leads to cortisol release. So that directly impacts what I do as a nutritionist, because if you release lots of cortisol, you will be at risk of weight gain, insomnia, depression, hormonal disruption. I see a lot of people with hormonal disruption that suppresses the immune response as well. And a lot of people will come and see me because they keep on catching cold or flu or whatever depressed immune function. So that's a sort of really major things in terms of nutrition. If you're under stress, it also activates the sympathetic nervous system, which leads to the release of catecholamines, a sort of hormone. So again, major effect on nutrition. Basically, what happened there is a fight or flight response. And when that's triggered, basically that's perceived as an emergency situation by the body. So everything else will, all the other function will stop, including digestion. So that's not good. What happens as well is an increase in the breakdown of sugar and fat. So the free circulating fatty acid and glycogen, that's an increase of glucose in the blood. Basically, what happens is that everything that might help us to flee or to fight happens in the body, and we need more glucose in our blood if we needed to fight, or more fat as well for energy. So that happens, but then we don't use it because we're just stressed, sitting in our car, stressed in a traffic jam, as opposed to having to actually run away from the tiger, whatever it was. So that's a sort of very important pathway again. And really, as I was saying earlier, the gut has such a central role in the stress response. And really, it's via the gut bacteria. And what's very interesting is that it's not just our stress response going down to the gut. There's communication both ways. So what happened in the gut will actually directly impact on our brain, on our hormonal release, and so on. So very important pathway. So I've put a nice picture of the gut microbiome, which is pretty amazing. It's sort of, you know, there's a few statistics there which I find fascinating as a nutritionist. You know, 22 million genes, much more than in the human genome, in the microbiome, can make and use nutrients. So huge amounts, so quite heavy, 2 kilograms on average. Thousands of species. So it's usually, usually important to mental and physical health. And importantly, we can influence it by what we do. So that's quite exciting, really. So that's a diagram of really the links between the brain and the gut microbiome, which is lots of different ways it communicates. And as you can see, the arrows point both way. It's really a two-way communication, which is pretty incredible, really. And actually, we didn't know about that until quite recently. So it's a relatively new discovery that the gut will communicate with the brain and not just the other way around. So, what about that communication? So as I said, it's a bi-directional. It's involved both the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system. And the parasympathetic system works through the vagus nerve. And it releases, the vagus nerve will release, we send signals to release a number of neurotransmitters, and those have got a direct action of the gut. So, you know, muscle coordination of the gut, peristalsis. So when you get people who get IBS, which is non-explained, you can't find a reason, often you find that the case, the stress part of it, is that the peristalsis is not coordinated. So there's an issue of the connection between the brain through the vagus nerve to the gut. That's not working properly. So you can see instead of the muscle contracting properly in sync, it's all disordered and that causes pain. So that's one sort of very direct link between stress, the stress response, and digestion. Then there's also signals from the gut to the central nervous system, and that will transmit inflammatory signals. And so, you know, that gut feeling one gets often. I mean, that's in our language. It's thought that's what's happening. You know, the gut actually is able to perceive what's wrong, a reaction to stress, to an event, as well as something physical, will lead to production of inflammatory compounds, and that will signal to the brain there's something wrong. So that's very interesting. And basically, paying attention to gut feeling is really, really important thing to do, because the gut is talking to us and we need to pay attention. So really, unbelievably as well, all those little microbes in the gut actually able to release neurotransmitter that will travel via the vagus nerve back to the brain and signal whatever's happening. So we do know, for example, that people who have gut microbiome, which is not in a good state, which is not balanced, will have more depression than other people. Direct effect of the gut onto the brain, which is interesting. Another issue that can happen, one of the issues when the body's under stress, is that the gut barrier function decreases, and then it, instead of doing its job of filtering all that goes through it properly, it will let through some things that should not have gone through, and that can lead to inflammation, disease. It's thought that some of the rheumatoid arthritis issues could be helped by having a good gut barrier function in good health. So that's another thing that's directly impacted by stress. All that happens both ways. Very, very important. The immune system. So the consequences of change in microbiota, the gut microbes, if it's affected by stress, it will change quality. That will affect the immune system, which in turn will communicate with the brain. There's a sort of vicious circle of the gut being affected by stress. And that in turn, when it's not such good quality microbiota, will affect the brain. And you'll be in that vicious circle of ill health. So instead of balancing your health, you'll have a spiral of degrading health. So that's all quite complex, and there's a lot to it, but it's a basic, very, very strong relationship between the gut and the brain. And it's in the diagram of, you know, stress linked very strongly to depression, immune problems, dysbiosis, the barrier dysfunction, which we talked about, and a good, healthy gut is linked to healthy emotions, good immune system, a good gut barrier. So that's a pretty strong effect on there. And I think it's worth mentioning that this starts actually in the womb. So autogenic therapy can be useful, as we know, for everybody. But I know there's contraindication for pregnant women, but that also would be an unbelievably useful tool if you're pregnant. Because it's really difficult to change your gut bacteria once it's established. What you get at birth and in the first few months of life, or in the first 3 years of life, will have a big impact on the health in the long term. So it's really worth trying to deal with one's gut flora early on. Yes, try and influence it for the better. So obviously during the birth, there's a transmission of the mother's gut flora. So it's important the mother's got a good, healthy gut flora. And the impact on the gut flora of the baby will be breastfeeding, which obviously that's not dependent on autogene therapy, but on the other hand, you need support. It can be difficult to breastfeed. So I see a place for autogenic therapy there as well. So it is very much part of self-care when you're pregnant, I feel. And it's really important in that we know that the quality of the microbiome of a baby will impact their ability to remain a normal size. And it's very much linked to obesity, bad quality gut flora of the mother when she's pregnant. And then obviously also the factor of breastfeeding, whether she's able to have a normal labor or not. And the diet of the child will have a huge impact on their long-term health. So I do feel that's worth bearing in mind to encourage pregnant women to deal with a stress response, whichever way they can, because it starts so early, even before you're born, and that will impact health and mental health, physical health. So I just thought I'd put that in. I think it's quite important. Can we have the question at the end? Because I've actually no idea how to stop it and take question now. So if you make a note of what you want to ask me, that would be great. And then we can have question at the end, maybe, if that's okay. There's actually been some research on the condition that can be helped by autogenic therapy in terms of what I do, nutritional therapy, and things that are particularly, can be helped particularly well. Well, IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, which I mentioned before, which is not surprising because what's been observed when people do an exercise, do practice autogenic therapy, is that the gastric contraction become more regular. They become more ample as well, more ample and regular. So ample would mean that if somebody is prone to constipation, that would help. The secretion are normalized. The secretion would be all over the gut. But for example, in the stomach, people who've got too much acidity in the stomach, and that cause ulcers or pain at the very least. That would be normalized by autogenic therapy practice. And that's really important because a lot of people are on medication for too much acidity in the stomach and pain. And those medications have got lots of very negative side effects and they should only be used very short term. So obviously there's other thing in terms of nutrition you can do, but autogenic therapy would be a very important part of it or stopping the stress response. And in general, as we know, autogenic therapy practice will increase the blood flow to the abdominal region. So that would help other diseases like ulcerative colitis responds very well as well. I mean, that's actually a quite big one because ulcerative colitis very much would flare when people are under stress. Crohn's disease has been seen to improve. Peptic ulcers, which I was mentioning before, that's really acidity in the stomach. General digestion, dyspepsia. And then reflux disease, which is extremely common. And again, that tends to be linked to too much acid secretion in the stomach. So all those things have actually been studied. So that's nice to know that there's backup when I tell people I can doing a nutritional therapist course will help them. One thing I see a lot as a nutritional therapist, people wanting to lose weight. And that's very difficult. That's literally the harder thing for me to do as a nutritional therapist, because needing to lose weight is such a complex thing. It's not just eating less. It's the mechanics of it. Eating less can help, or will help, clearly. But how you achieve that is really difficult. And that can, I feel autogenic therapy can really directly help in different way. So the first is sleep. We know that people who sleep badly tend to have more difficulty losing weight. And we also know that autogenic therapy can really help with sleep. Anxiety. Anxiety, mainly because a lot of people will eat to comfort. Yes, it will be comfort eating. It won't be because they're hungry. It should be because if you're stressed, anxious, quite often the response is to eat something sweet and comforting. So dealing with a feeling of anxiety is really important. So gut flora is all important for weight loss. So again, we've seen the link between stopping the stress response and gut flora. And very importantly, what is at the root of the problem? You know, what does food mean for the person? Quite often, I mean, still now, I think it happens in school, you know, food will be, sweet things will be given to children as a reward. So you build in your mind the idea that if you need to reward yourself, you can eat something sweet, and it works. You know, obviously we're conditioned often, or some of us are conditioned to associate eating something sweet or that we like with reward. So that needs to be, that cycle needs to be broken. And I think that's where the personal formula comes in. You know, if the person can become aware of their trigger point, then you can put a personal formula. Now, I feel it's actually quite difficult to find the right personal formula in terms of weight loss, because you don't want association. You know, to say, for example, if you know that you're going to watch TV, and systematically when you watch TV, because you like the comfort of it, you're going to eat a whole packet of biscuit. You can't have a personal formula mentioning biscuit. It tends to be counterproductive. So you've got to go back to, well, how does it make me feel when I eat biscuit? And find another way to feel like that without eating the biscuit. So I think the personal formula obviously need to be worked on, but that's very strong. If you need, and I would never be successful as a nutritional therapist helping somebody to lose weight without dealing with those other things which go on in the person's life. So AT is a big tool in that one. And then I've got some case study, but I think before talking about the case studies, I might get out of the presentation and then maybe take questions at that point. Okay. Right. So you wanted to ask a question? Sorry, I can't.
Yes, Bev, were you addressing that to me?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I've got two questions I wrote down. Intriguing, everything that you shared. The first one was a point on one of your slides where you said we can influence the microbiome, and that made me want to ask how. So I don't know if that's coming up in your case study. So that was one question. And the other one was when you were talking about the usefulness of AT for pregnant women, I think I remember reading somewhere in contraindications around formula about the solar plexus formula on pregnant women, and I just thought to ask that in the context of what you've been sharing.
Thank you. So the microbiome can be influenced in so many ways, but it can be influenced, it's been shown to be influenced by stopping the stress response. So basically, if you're stressed, you influence your microbiome to be of less good quality. So autogenic therapy will directly improve the quality of the microbiome, which is quite weird to me, but that's what's been shown by research. But in terms of nutrition therapy, you influence the microbiome by diet. You can influence it quite a lot, thank goodness. And it's eating prebiotic, which is all fiber food. So you feed good food to your microbe, the food they like. So the good microbe will develop because they get lots of food they like. And basically it's fiber. So lots of fruit and vegetable. It's simple. It's the usual thing. Lots of fruit and vegetable are really, the gut loves that. And nuts as well. Nuts and seeds, fantastic. So it's prebiotic and then probiotic, fermented food. Eating fermented food is amazing. And fermented food doesn't have to be, this is the sauerkraut, things like that. But it can simply be cheese, good, old, proper, unprocessed, as unprocessed, this is processed food. But that's contain good microbe for the gut and yogurt and things like that. So eating that sort of food, so you put in good bacteria directly into the gut. And over time, it does change. The gut. We've seen there's quite a lot of studies showing that you can influence the gut like that.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, what kind of cheese then? I've never heard of cheese before being one. I've heard of the yogurt and kefir and things. What kind of cheese?
I mean cheddar will. Cheese is fermented dairy, fermented. So I mean, Gruyère, Emmental, blue cheese. I mean, really, I think the only ones, the very processed cheese, you can buy sometimes a slice of Edam or whatever. I'm not sure those have got good bacteria, but all sorts of traditional cheese do. They are good. Kefir, obviously, is amazing if you like that. It's quite easy to eat good fermented. Fermented vegetables are quite fashionable at the moment.
So yeah, they are.
You can pick those up quite easily or make your own.
Can I add that I have just discovered, only in the last few months, of David Stowe cheddar cheese, which is it fermented or is it whatever it is not processed, but it is stored for 3 years before it reaches the shelves. It's the most delicious cheddar I have ever tasted. So I'm wondering if my gut is now improved. I think it might even be. So thank you for that. It's lovely, these little nuggets of information there. Mm.
And I suppose variety is key, so eat as many fermented food as you can put in your diet. That's a really but really this is a autogenic therapy course, and autogenic therapy will improve the quality of the gut because it stops the stress response, and stress has got a direct impact on the gut, and through the release of all sorts of chemicals, of neurotransmitters, hormones, and so on. So the stress, stopping the stress response is also crucial to the gut microbiome. The other question was about pregnant lady. Well, what do you think, Jane? That's more your...
I think we've had quite a bit of debate about this, haven't we, Donna and Paula? Well, everybody... I think in the end, it's always about should the solar plexus formula be used if somebody is pregnant. And in the end, we don't really know. I think the idea was that if there was any, in fact, I would say if any complication had been found in the pregnancy where there might be a threat of a bleed of some kind, then we wouldn't put in solar plexus warm because that might exacerbate the fact that it could make the situation worse. But in all these years of teaching autogenics and a fair number of pregnant people, I've never found a problem. And there are some things we can't control. Somebody might learn autogenic training at the age of 25 with the solar plexus formula in there, albeit with the caveat as well about pregnancy. But when they're 30 and they become pregnant, then they've forgotten all about that and they use solar plexus warm. And how would they know not to? So it's quite a grey area. And I think in the end, we've decided not to worry about it, which might not be the right answer. But I don't know about you, Donna or Patricia. Have you got any direct experience with pregnancy and AT?
No. It is a bit of a worry, though, the solar plexus one. I think I might be very wary of it. And certainly a pregnant person who might have had problems with pregnancies in the past.
In the past, that's a possibility. Yes. I think, Donna, what would be your...
I speak to them. I've had that whole area with IBS is a bit of a danger zone as well, or it can be because people don't want the warmth there. Mm. But I talk to people. And get a feel for it, and I just say if this is it and you don't feel comfortable, then please leave it out. Yes. But going back to my own training, though, when I had complications in that area, my brain took it out for me. I couldn't add it in. I, for love nor money, I could not remember to say that statement. And then a couple of years later, it just put it back in. So I'm a great believer that the body knows, or the brain knows, whether to or not.
It's interesting what you say, actually, about because I find nearly all my clients absolutely love the plexus solar one and really, really, you know, they get on very well with it. And in fact, the feeling of warmth in the gut seem to really help them. So it just shows that everybody's different.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And therefore, I don't think we should have a textbook, no, don't use this. That is not really how we work, is it? You're quite right, Donna, talk to the client. And we would say for any exercise, wouldn't we? If there's any discomfort or any question mark over this, then don't use it. Stop it. And so on. So, but I love what you've just said, Claire, though, that digestion is all around, isn't it? The solar plexus area. So isn't that lovely that particular formula actually resonates with them?
It really does. And I feel actually it that warmth brings in more blood to the gut, probably. I don't know. I mean, you see people putting a hot water bottle on the gut when they've got a tummy ache. So I suppose it sort of makes sense.
But, yes, all of that. Yeah.
Is there any other questions so far?
Well, I had one, which is actually a term you used, and I know that I know it, and I have forgotten it. Dysbiosis.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Difficulty of something or other.
It just means that the gut flora is unbalanced. So it's
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a unbalanced gut flora in a negative way.
Okay.
Sort of. So you need to. That's when you need to take action to crowd out the sort of unhelpful bacteria in your gut, and by putting in fermented food, doing all you can to help the good bacteria to develop.
That's thank what you. It. Yes, that makes sense. Thank you.
Pia has a question.
Leah, I wonder if I could ask you, you hear so much about leaking gut these days. Is that easy to cure?
I mean, not that easy. It basically depends what causes it. But again, it's down to the gut flora. Well, not simply. Basically, you need to find out what's causing it, which could be that's the key, which is could be that you're eating food that doesn't suit you, intolerance or allergy. Stress will absolutely cause leaky gut, or if you get any infection, it'll cause some issue with the gut because of all the sort of virus or whatever happens in the gut, that will affect the gut. So you need to remove what caused, you won't be able to heal it at all until you remove the cause. So if it's simply with stress or lifestyle, you address the lifestyle. If it's a intolerance, can be quite hard to find what you're intolerant to. And then once you know, yes, it's quite easy to sort out. It's really, there are supplements to help rebuild the wall of the gut. And then general really good diet, it'll heal itself. I mean, you don't even have, if you remove the cause, eventually in general, it will heal itself because that's as human being, that's what we are. We lack homeostasis and trying to get back to health as long as we're given the right conditions. So, sorry, it doesn't really answer. It's both hard and easy. As long as what's hard is to find the cause, what's easy is once the cause is removed, then actually the process of healing is quite easy.
That's great. Thank you.
Anything else?
Sebastian?
Hi, Claire. I'm just curious, maybe you know a lot more than me. What about intermittent fasting? Do you find it healthy or not?
That's such a big question. So fasting is yes and no. Basically, there's not a huge amount of research on it, but the research there is on it is basically beginning to show that it's healthy for some people and not healthy for other people. And basically, doctors in general like it because it depends what type of fasting you do, but simply daily fasting that you will leave minimum 12 hours when you don't eat at all overnight, or maybe 14 hours, even better. That's probably really a good idea. You just simply rest your organs.
Just talking about skipping breakfast and having perhaps one or two meals a day.
I mean, but so that has been researched a little bit, and it's exactly what I was saying. It's good for some people, bad for other people. People we know now have got very different response to sugar, and that's a lot of it is actually what you're born with. There's nothing you can do about it, and so for some people, eating only two meals is not going to be helpful. They need to eat more often. But if you can eat only two meals, you don't feel, if your response to your blood sugar response cannot cope with that, you probably get to the point that you feel faint, and you actually that becomes an emergency for the body, and you probably will reach out for something really unhealthy because actually you need sugar, and the brain does. So, and that's we apparently research showing now it's very much genetic, which is surprising. So if you don't have an issue with blood sugar, it's probably quite healthy to only have two meals. It depends what you want to do as well. If it's a good way to lose weight, but some people don't need to lose weight. Now I'm quite slim,
And one
and
more last question. I would like to know, in your experience, have you ever come across a client that was addicted to sugar and has the AT help him give up sugar addiction? I mean, cannot say addiction, but we know that, there is a
Yeah, no, it isn't
dependency.
like this. It's really an addiction. Now, I would go with the word. No, I mean, not directly. I don't think I've had somebody doing 80 whose problem was really nearly everybody has got some issue with blood sugar, and it's quite rare not to. And in a way, that's you need to address the diet. That's quite, and I think 80 will help. In general, but I don't think just doing AT would stop a sugar addiction. You really need to address the diet. The diet would be, and then AT will help with a change in the diet, because changing your diet is really hard. That's really how I use AT as a help to change. But you need the input.
Bev, did you
Sorry.
have a question there, Bev? Or...
I was actually just going to share that I gave up sugar using an AT formula.
All right.
Expensive way, and I use sugar in it. You know, this was in the early days, and
Okay.
I use the formula, sugar is giving me up.
All right.
And it happened without any effort. It was quite amazing.
That's really good to hear, actually.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I think that one and another one I did is what convinced me of the absolute effectiveness of the personal formula in 80. Because I would have thought I'd have to do it with strong will and, you know, all denying myself, but it happened effortlessly.
That's really good to know, actually. That's very interesting. I mean, when I was saying it needs nutritional input, it's just that usually you can't give up all sugar without nutritional input because, well, people don't necessarily know about the way to keep a blood sugar. You know, it's something physiological. If you eat a lot of sugar, it sends your blood sugar level up and then down, and the body. So you need to be told how to do that, how to deal with that. And then that's great. You know, that's great that you had that experience. That's a really good to know, actually. I might use it more often.
Well, I'm wondering if there's just something very simple about the awareness and this word that we've got in our autogenics, which is about intentional offloading. If there is an intent there, a really healthy intent and a determined intent in a personal formula, some of that psychological input might well have made it an easier job than we might have thought. I don't know. That's just a It's just that intent awareness of what you're trying to do. And it happened. Who knows? Right. Claire.
Yeah, my internet, I'm afraid. Okay.
You're all right. You froze a bit,
I'm
but now
losing
you're
my
back.
internet.
You're
I don't
back now. You're back with us.
Okay, good. Yes, the joy of living in the country. We're working hard on trying to get the internet to work properly, but we're not quite there yet. I think, I mean, I can share one case study. So it's all people. I saw a client. And then they, whether came to me for both, they knew from the beginning they wanted autogenic therapy and nutritional therapy, or I suggested it. In this case, I suggested it. And that lady came to see me, and she had just retired and moved house at the same time. So the level of stress was pretty huge. And she started feeling really anxious and inadequate, which maybe happens when you retire. I don't know, maybe she'd sense lost her sense of purpose. But also, she was catching cold after cold and developing food intolerances, and her arthritis was getting much, much worse. And so in terms of the diet work, so we had to work on our immune system, mainly that sort of on the gut flora. So we've mentioned that before, in increasing our prebiotic intakes, our fermented food. And then also for the immune system, the fat you eat are really important, and the protein you eat. So we reviewed increasing our protein intake, which wasn't enough, which is often the case with older people. They think they don't need protein anymore, but actually they need even more protein. And the fat intake in terms of the immune system, very important because of the anti-inflammatory. So certain fat cause inflammation, other dampen inflammation. So you need omega-3, I think, probably. So that was a change in diet. And I guess some supplement work well in terms of if you feel anxiety for some people, anxiety can be dealt very happily with something called 5-HTP. It's a precursor of serotonin. It works very well for some people. So I give her some of that. Some L-glutamine, which is one thing that will help rebuild the gut barrier. But no probiotics. That's something that is being shown more and more not to really work in terms of the gut flora. And it seems that diet is what will make a difference. Probiotic will have only a very transient effect. So unless you have a specific issue or diarrhea, it's not recommended particularly anymore to have probiotic. And the AT course works spectacularly well. So I think, coming from all those angles, you educate the person to what might be wrong with the diet. But I feel really the autogenic therapy is the key to make all that happen. So I get quite a lot of people like that. The sort of the autogenic therapy, the nutritional therapy is the technical bit, and then the autogenic therapy is what's going to be to allow the change. And the change is difficult. It's difficult to change your diet. It's difficult to become aware. Obviously, to become aware that you too much, well, to I think you probably be aware you have too much sugar, but to make the decision you want to stop is difficult. So that's one example of how I use autogenic therapy. Do you have
Yeah,
any question?
I do. I may have misunderstood you, but in this case study, were you saying that you couldn't get probiotics through food?
No, it's not what I was saying. I was saying that I don't give probiotic supplement very much anymore. The
Yeah.
supplement, the probiotic in food is fermented food, is probiotic
Yeah,
in food.
okay,
Because
got it. Yeah.
that's what you have. The probiotic as a supplement
Yeah.
is not that useful for most people. I can see it in 9 studies, but actually I'd already stopped giving probiotic mostly because I could see it didn't work. Actually, it had a negative effect. So
Yeah.
it's much better to, yeah, absolutely, you need probiotic. That's really helpful, but through food, through fermented food. And then prebiotic, which is, what will help the probiotic develop in your gut develop happily. Is
Thank you.
that
Yeah, thank you. That's interesting.
is there any other question? No. I think we've done just about an hour, so 55 minutes. So I think that's probably it. So
Well.
I hear you've all got a busy day tomorrow with exams. So
Well, since you've mentioned the exam word, Claire, I'm going to say to reassure the students, we are not going to, we have no questions on AT and diet. So you haven't got to suddenly remember all these wonderful nuggets of things. I think if we have any questions about AT and diet, we will come straight to you, Claire, and ask for advice or anything else if we have any clients that we are concerned about.
That would be a
So
pleasure.
I think that's an important thing to say.
Right. Yes.
Would we be able to get a copy of your slides?
Yes, I can email them to I think the session is being recorded. Anyway, but I can email them. I'll email them to Jane and then
Oh,
she can pass them on.
Well, email them to Donna because
Okay.
Donna's our great emailer.
Okay.
Content lady.
Only because I've got Jade in my back pocket.
All right, well then we'll pass it on to Jade as well. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Pia, you're mute.
Claire, thank you very much. This has been really, really good. I'm just asking you out of curiosity. So you are a nutritionist. So So how do you do it with AT? Do you they come to you with something that is not working for them? And do you suggest, no matter what, that they do AT, or how does it work?
Actually, it's harder than what I thought it would be, because when you come for nutritional therapy, you don't come for that many session. You come for maybe two or three. I mean, normally it's two, main one and follow up, and often more. But really, you will get a lot from just two session. And now, and so it's a bit difficult. So I've got to, it's got to sort of come, I suggest it gently, but it's really got to come from them, because basically I suggest then they do a 9 session course. Well, usually when it's coming for after nutrition, it's eight, but still, it's a whole lot longer than what they expected. So it's quite delicate. It's not that easy. I quite like it when people come to me wanting both together, and quite a few people do, because they've seen I do both. So that's very nice. But yeah, otherwise I do suggest it, and then obviously I certainly don't push it, because even though I really know people need it, because it's such a commitment, clearly it's got to come from them. But yeah, that's
Do you see clients on Zoom?
not so many anymore. People do prefer to come. Really, it is nicer. So yeah, I can see. I mean, I've got the Zoom subscription and so on, and I do offer, I do it. I even started a new autogenic therapy course. It was on Zoom, and it finished with a lady who was in the state, in California, of all places. So with a huge, well, like for you, a huge time difference makes it a bit tricky. But so yeah, Zoom is really useful. But in general, people prefer to come here.
Okay. And do you have a website you can share with us?
I don't at the moment. I've just let go of my old website. So I'm in the process of doing another website, which is quite urgent. But yeah.
But we can find you on in the British Society, can't we?
Yeah,
With a
yeah. And I'm listed somewhere for nutrition therapy, so you could find me.
Wonderful.
Google my name, yeah.
Thank you. I
Great.
think what is so lovely about your talks and your knowledge, Claire, is that there is such a very, very direct link between the stress response and diet and our digestive system and so on. And of course, there are many other things that we can talk about which don't have that immediate link, that absolutely natural link. What am I trying to say here? I'm not even quite sure. But we had a talk on pain recently, and of course there's a link. Of course there is, but it didn't come across in that sort of immediate, direct, biological way that this has for all of
Yeah,
us.
yeah.
So very interesting.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you
Thank
very much. Very
you very
nice
much.
meeting you all. And
Yeah.
thank you very much, Claire.
Thank
Good
you.
luck with the exam tomorrow. I'm sure you
Oh, yeah.
will.
It's just a little test. It's a different four-letter word. It's not the
Yeah,
same as an exam. It's just a little test. That's
I
all.
thought we renamed it the progress review.
Sounds much
Yeah. I'd
better.
forgotten that.
Didn't we? Yes. We're going to ban all the scary words, aren't
Yes.
we, in the AT course?
Yes. Yes. I'm working with an elderly gentleman who has suffered occasionally from really mysterious events, what should we say, episodes, where his body just collapses and he calls it a crash. And his whole persona is about being an athletic and being a businessman and being very productive and always pushing on to the next stage and what he loves, and he just wants to be better. And he calls this thing a crash, and he's got one at the moment, which is holding up his AT. And in one of our emails, I said, I'm wondering if we should just not call it a crash anymore, because what is happening is that your body is being forced to rest. You can't do anything else until you recover. So, can we find something more akin to invest in rest? And he loved that idea. So, I think actually a lot of our work is about reframing, isn't it? Just finding a different way around to say things. And we're doing that with now our exam being a what we
Well,
would a route to pro no, what was it?
Progress review.
A progress review.
That
thank
sounds
you.
Good. Well, I'll leave you to your work finding.
Yes, indeed. Okay.
Very nice meeting you all.
Thank you for joining us, Claire. That's brilliant.
Thank you. Yes.